Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think we really got something here.
What do we got?
An idea.
What idea?
An idea for the show.
I still don't know what the idea is.
It's about nothing.
Right.
Everybody's doing something. We'll do nothing.
The Nightcap.
They say, what's your show about? I say nothing.
There you go.
I think you may have something here.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome into the Nightcap. 7-9, Joe DiBiase and Kyle Powell here on WGR. We'll hang out with you for the next 2 hours here on WGR. You can phone us up anytime you want, 803-0550. Text line is 550-550, and you can hit us up on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR or at WGR550. We ask the hard-hitting questions like, can you dip cookies in chocolate milk? Which was brought up just before we went on air. And now it's very curious to me. Like, I want to do it. How did this begin? We were talking about what? Chocolate milk in ice caps? Which is, yes, a great combination.
Yes.
Although I've only had one so far, but it was great.
It is worth it. And yes, the chocolate milk question definitely made me think, but there's a lot of different...
I think it's overkill.
There's a lot of combinations and a lot of factors that go into this. It depends on the cookie. And more often than not, when I'm having cookies, there's already chocolate in it.
Right.
And I can't do a lot of chocolate. Like, think of this. Like, if there's chocolate frosting on a chocolate cake, I don't go near it. That's too much for me. So
really?
Chocolate milk with a chocolate cookie...
You can't do double chocolate.
It's a lot, man.
What about sugar cookie
Super
and
rich.
Chocolate milk?
A sugar cookie and chocolate
sugar
milk?
A sugar cookie dipped in chocolate milk. Does that sound like a good thing?
I would.
Good combination? Because there's no chocolate going on there.
Yeah.
In the cookie, at least.
Exactly. It couldn't be that bad. But just for me personally, chocolate on chocolate crime, I can't do it. Too rich.
What is the best cookie to dip in chocolate milk? I'm going to ask that on Twitter. We'll see what people come back with. I'm going to guess Oreo is like the one for sure. Then you're like, no. That's definitely too much chocolate.
Yeah.
All right. Can you ever have enough chocolate might be a better question. I want to spend more time. Obviously, we're not going to spend too much time on that. We'll see what people say later in the show. We got a Sabre game tomorrow. We got Sabres on Friday. So you got us for Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. And I'll get into a lot with the Sabres a little bit later on. They're only 2 points out, but it totally feels like they're further out. So we'll get into that later on. Plus, there's a guy that I want to kind of bring up that might be a little bit of a trade idea for the Sabres. It's a guy that they could look at the trade deadline if he's available. But today, some football news that I want to dive into, starting off with Kareem Hunt. He signs with the Browns, and he's probably going to get suspended for 4 games, if not, maybe a little bit more. That's what Jonathan Jones said from Sports Illustrated earlier today on our station, that he could see 4 games and maybe a little bit more for Hunt. And he's an interesting idea. So I wake up this morning, and I do my routine. I get some breakfast, and then I look down at my phone. Generally, I don't look at my phone for like the first. I'll check it right as I get up, and then the second check usually doesn't come for like 15, 20 minutes. And I look at my phone as I'm eating breakfast, and I'm seeing Benjamin Albright. I'm seeing reaction to this Benjamin Albright tweet that stunned me. That there was anything at all. A whisper, a murmur, anything connecting the Bills to Kareem Hunt from anybody. And this isn't Rappaport, this isn't Adam Schefter. It's Benjamin Albright. He's hit or miss sometimes. He's out in Denver doing his thing. And he responds to a question from someone on Twitter. Hey, are the Browns in on Kareem Hunt? And Benjamin Albright says, no. What I've heard is Chicago and Buffalo are the two teams that have been sniffing around. Sniffing around is an interesting thing. So if we dissect this entire tweet, because this matters to me. on whether the Bills legitimately looked into acquiring Kareem Hunt, doing the backstory, looking into it all, his situation, him as a player, and whether they legitimately considered it. Because that is important to, I think, what this team wants to be. Because they preach culture, and by all accounts, they exercise culture. Kind of the opposite of what the previous regime did. Doug Whaley, Rex Ryan. It seemed like they didn't care too much about what all the off-the-field stuff was happening. If you could help them on the football field, then they were going to overlook stuff. They did it with Richie Incognito. They did it with Marcell Dareus, it seems. They've done it with other guys. And this regime is supposed to be different. And I think they are different. But this would be some evidence that the Bills are willing to kind of go over that line if they wanted to. Now, maybe I should just chalk this up and say, hey, Benjamin Albright's first response to his tweet was, have you heard anything about Kareem Hunt signing Cleveland? His first word, no. So maybe I should kind of discount anything else he says after that because he was wrong on the Cleveland part of it. So maybe he'd be wrong on the Chicago Buffalo part. Let's just pretend for a second that he's right. He heard something connecting the Bills to Kareem Hunt. Sniffing, the word he used. To me, sniffing could mean almost nothing. It could mean, hey, the Bills contacted the NFL asking for more details on the Kareem Hunt investigation and kind of trying to figure out what the legitimate backstory is there. That could be sniffing. One call to the NFL office. Hey, can you send this file over? That could have been sniffing. And then maybe the Bills would have looked at it and maybe they would have decided, hey, we don't want to do this. Like, look what's in here. We're not doing this. All right. We did our due diligence. We're not doing it. I would want them to do that kind of stuff. If a guy like this, who, like me personally, I can never imagine how somebody can do what he did. Like kicking a woman while she is down is disgraceful. And then it's on video. So everybody sees it. So there's a lot of noise surrounding it. Rightfully so. And that's where I still want my team to have the gumption to look into a situation like that. I don't want them to just completely rule it out because of all the PR and everything. If I want them to rule it out, I want it to be because of who the guy is. And to me, I think it's a good sign that if this is true, that the Bills would have sniffed around Kareem Hunt. Because to me, I think all that could very well mean is just they looked into the situation. They wanted more. They wanted to know more on the personality, and they wanted to do a deeper dive. All right? And by the way, I think it might be right because Albright does follow that up with, it was the exact same thing he heard about Josh Allen, the Bills drafting Josh Allen. The Bills were sniffing around that. It happened. So, like, I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have wanted the Bills to do it. Because, like I said, I would not want a guy like that on my football team, a guy that is capable of doing that. I don't want to have to root for that guy. But at the same time, I do believe, and I think many should believe, or many should practice this in the league, that guys are deserving of second chances if they're willing to do the work to become better. And if Kareem Hunt's doing that, then of course he deserves a second chance. I don't want him on my football team, but he deserves to be in the league. He deserves to do his job. He deserves to work. If you make a mistake, you shouldn't be banned from doing what you're good at, your career. Now, you should be on extremely thin ice, but you should get at least a second chance, I think, in this league. So I wouldn't have crushed the Bills if they had done it. I don't want to crush the Bills for them even having interest if they did. I wouldn't have done it, but like I said, I wouldn't have had a huge problem with it. If they felt that he was making strides to be better than what we saw in that video, because that's what really matters. It shouldn't just be a guy does that and then automatic ban. They should get cut. Like he did. He should have to sit out. He should get suspended. He should pay. But not banned. Alright? And I think as long as the guy makes steps, he's deserving of a second chance. If he, to me, missteps again, that's a bad look on Cleveland. That's a big reason why I think I wouldn't have wanted my team to do that. Because you're now judging this guy who's already got a red flag, and you need to hit on it. This happened to an extent with Richie Incognito. The Bills took a big risk taking on Richie Incognito. Because it's not even just the bullying scandal that happened in Miami. There was other stuff there. Deadspin did a whole list of like things Richie Incognito has been accused of, and it's a bad list. And the Bills took that on. And that is risky, because if that guy missteps once, that you look bad as an organization for doing that. And to his credit, while he was here, it seems Richie Incognito did not make any missteps. There's some weird stuff that happened immediately after he left, but while he was here, it seemed nothing really bad happened. So it's like I'm always pulling one end or the other, personally, because I don't want to have to root for these guys that have made big mistakes in their life. Not even just mistakes, like just someone that's capable of doing that kind of stuff. I don't want to have to root for those people. But at the same time, I do think guys deserve second chances. And if they help your football team, sometimes it is worth the risk. I'm just very hopeful that the Bills, and I'm hopeful that the Bills don't just go zero tolerance when that stuff happens. Not in terms of guys on their team, not in terms of, because it's very easy, I think, to just automatically assume that you can't do anything like that. But I'm okay if the guy is willing to change and that you are the team that's willing to give him the opportunity. Because the NFL can be that, right? Give these guys a reason to change as a person. Hold that job over their head and say, hey, if you don't change, you're not playing running back in the NFL. So there's your reason to change as a person. Because otherwise, see you later. So that's my overall thought on that. Again, just recapping it, wouldn't have wanted my team to do it, but I think somebody doing it is fine. I'm okay with it. That kind of leads me, though, to where the Bills are at running back. Look on the field stuff now. If the Bills were sniffing around Kareem Hunt, that means they have interest in adding at running back. I think that's an obvious. They should have interest in adding at running back. The Bills should be looking for a young guy with speed that has ability to catch the football. And they need to do something like that. Going into this offseason, what are the biggest needs for this team? Offensive line and wide receiver, probably 1 and 2. I would maybe put running back right after that. Where else am I going? Corner, I think they might be okay. Levi Wallace might actually be a really good number two corner. Safety, they're great. Linebacker, they're set up pretty well. Defensive line, maybe you could use another pass rusher that's really good, but they're pretty good on their defensive line. Running back, I think, is next. Because you've got age at all three of your top positions. McCoy is going to be 31, if he's not already 31. Ivory, 30 years old. Marcus Murphy, 28. Or he will be 28 by the time the season rolls around. Where's my young developmental guy? I think what the Bills should be aiming for is not to do what the last regime did, the last few regimes did, and what this one has done. What have the Bills done at running back for the last decade plus? They have drafted them high in the first round. Or traded big assets to get them. McCoy was trading Kiko Alonso. Every starter before that, other than Fred Jackson, was a high first-round pick. Or was a first-round pick. Willis McGahee, Marshawn Lynch, CJ Spiller. Can't have that. They better not draft a running back 9th overall. I don't think they're going to, but man, they'll be pitchforks, I think, if they draft a running back at 9 overall. Especially when this year it doesn't really seem like there's someone even worth it to a team that would want to do that. Also, don't be what you've been so far. older, experience, valuing the locker room stuff over maybe you know, things on the field like speed or being able to catch the football, being a viable receiver out of the backfield. It's not just receiver the Bills have messed up. They've missed receiver out of the backfield. They've messed that up. Because they've failed, I think, on both complementary running back decisions so far. Mike Tolbert is an obvious one. The dude was playing fullback. And he was older, and they signed him to be a locker room guy. Then they signed Chris Ivory, who is older. And I think he's okay. But I can get that type of production, I think, anywhere. I don't want to be signing guys in free agency again. I need to do what most teams in the league do. I need to be drafting guys in the mid to late rounds. Because most of the time, if you do it enough, you're going to hit on a guy. You're going to find one. Hell, arguably the best running back in the last decade for the Bills was not any of the guys that was drafted high. It was Fred Jackson, who they got undrafted. He was evidence that you could do it, but they didn't want to take that lesson. They didn't want to hear it out. Really, ideally, what they should be in their backfield next year, they should be McCoy. For one, because I think they're absolutely going to keep him. I think he's still okay. I think he's still good. I don't think he's shot. He's not the same player he was. Last year, the offensive line was bad. That's an excuse, and it's a valid one. He didn't look great even when he was in the open field, and that's where I'm worried. So I'm not ecstatic that he'll be back, but you can use him. McCoy, okay. What are you going to do to complement him? Because to me, it can't just be Chris Ivory again. You need some youth there. You need to start to figure out who your running back's going to be in the next few years. Because, you know, a lot of these great teams are able to get amazing production and star running back production. The Chiefs with Hunt beforehand, and then with Damian Williams. Amazing running back production, and they got both of those guys pretty much out of nowhere. New England is the obvious example here. They do it over and over and over. James White has been an incredibly important player for them year after year after year. He was a mid-first-round pick, or he was a mid-draft pick, not first-round pick. Might have been fifth round. Do that. You're too old, you're too slow, and I want to hope, that the most likely scenario is that week one rolls around and the Bills have a 1-2 duo of LeSean McCoy and a running back they draft in like the third, fourth round. That'd be the perfect scenario for me, for them at running back. There's no precedent that that's going to happen. But an encouraging thing is, I think so far, they have been pretty adaptable. They have been pretty willing to change even early on here. Think about what they were at receiver. Their initial plan at receiver was Jordan Matthews as their number one after Watkins got traded. Slot guy, possession type receiver. That failed epically. Then, what was their plan B to number one receiver once Matthews got hurt and wasn't working out? They went after Kelvin Benjamin. Big, slow, physical, catch radius. And that failed epically. That style of receiver failed epically, especially when you paired it with another guy on the outside, LaAndre Holmes, who is big, slow. What did the Bills ultimately get to? They figured it out, and they deserve credit for that. They figured it out, and they didn't wait until the end of the season. They did it midway through. They realized, we cannot continue with Kelvin Benjamin as one of our top receivers. We cannot continue with Andre Holmes playing meaningful snaps on our offense. And what did they do? They sought and found speed. They figured it out. Robert Foster, fast. Isaiah McKenzie, fast. I feel like I'm missing somebody else they brought in. Was it Victor Bolden? That's not the name, though. He was on the team, but they brought in somebody else, too. Deontay Thompson, who didn't really ultimately, he wasn't great last year, but same line of thinking. He was fast. And I'm hoping that the Bills can come around on running back and how to get them and the style to get them the same way they kind of did with receiver last year. And there's guys out there. Like, they don't have to necessarily draft one, but go get me that kind of guy. Cleveland's going to be interesting. So Hunt's there now. And they've got Nick Chubb, who was really good in his rookie year. Second-round pick last year. By all means, until today happened, like he was being talked about as a top 10 fantasy pick for next year because how good he was last year, because he seemed very capable of being their feature running back. Now he's got some serious competition because Kareem Hunt was amazing in Kansas City under that same role. They've also got Duke Johnson there. I wonder how available he is, and I would love that player for the Buffalo Bills. He fits perfectly.
John Dorsey was asked at a press conference this afternoon in regards to Kareem Hunt and Duke Johnson on how expendable Johnson was, and as of right now, he said he's not expendable.
He did.
Because obviously
right.
There's a huge cloud over how much of Kareem Hunt they'll even get next year. So as of right now, they're holding on to him.
That's right.
Once the news breaks, that's a name you can look out for.
If it comes along, though, that – and I think he kind of has to say this right now because – like, he could very well be completely truthful there. But I also think there's a scenario where he thinks he has to say that because he doesn't know how long Kareem Hunt's suspension is going to be. If the NFL wants to come out and really make a point, like, hey, we are not standing for domestic violence anymore, which they should have done 5 years ago. But if they get to that now and they go, all right, Kareem Hunt, 10-game suspension or more, which maybe they ideally should do. But if they go 10-game suspension, then Cleveland can't even think about trading Duke Johnson. Because then you're starting over behind Nick Chubb until Hunt comes back. And then you don't know what's going to happen there because he'll be a year out of football. Who knows? But if the NFL comes out with what some people are expecting, like a 4-game suspension, maybe Cleveland sits there and says, we could start the year with Duke Johnson and then we could see if we could trade him. Or, hey, it's only 4 weeks. We can get through that with just Chubb and let's go ahead. Let's trade Johnson. Let's see what we can get with him. Because year after year now, they have been underutilizing him, and his touches have gone down and gone down and gone down. If you're not super familiar with the player, Duke Johnson, I mean, he is ultimate pass-catching back. He reminds me a lot of James White, although I think he's faster to me, and he's a little bit bigger. I almost wonder if he was in New England, I think he would absolutely be putting up bigger numbers than White is in that same role. He catches the ball a ton. His receptions the last... I mean, really, go back to the beginning of his career. 61 catches, 53 catches, 74. Last year, when they really started to underutilize him, 47. Like, that was his rough year. He had 47 catches. When's the last time a Bills running back had 47 catches? Maybe it was Spiller. I wonder, actually, who was the last to get 47 catches. So I'll look that up when we go to break in a minute. But that's the guy I want. And he's a little bit older. Like, he's not ideal for this. I'd like them to draft a guy. But Duke Johnson, 26... I think, yeah, he'll be 26 once the season rolls around. And I think he fits perfect. You can have McCoy as your first and second down back, the guy who gets the carries, and then when third and long comes around, or you know you got to be passing the ball, if you're trying to come back in games, throw Duke Johnson out there. Give Josh Allen a really good plan B. That when he goes, oh my gosh, I'm running around, I can't find anybody, okay, I'm just going to dump it off to Duke Johnson because he can make something happen. That's the kind of guy I want them to look for, and that's the kind of guy that I want them to have in their backfield for next season. And I hope that they've come around on that position like they did at wide receiver. So Duke Johnson, yards after catch, like yak. He should have a tattoo of yak on his arm somewhere because he is all yards after the catch. 803-0550 is the phone number. Talk some draft too. Kyler Murray is entering the NFL draft. That probably will affect the Bills. Assuming that he goes top 10, which seems pretty realistic at this point. That again only really affects the Bills if there's a team behind them that loves him enough that they want to trade up and get in front of somebody else. Denver maybe, because Denver picks one spot behind Buffalo. Let's go out to the phone lines quick before we hit to a break. Let's go Tony. Tony, you're on the nightcap. What's up?
Hey, great subject again tonight, bud. How are you?
Thank you. How about you?
Not too bad. I am a firm believer that this year the Buffalo Bills need to trade down and receive assets for this same season. I don't know if there's teams out there that got a surplus of second-round picks in their first-round pick or just, like you said, you listed through what we need. You know, you could have just simply said, we need offense. Because obviously it's going to start with your offensive line, first and foremost. And we sorely need receivers. And behind that, we could use a running back. And it wouldn't hurt to have a tight end, too.
You know, yeah, good point.
We just about named every position on the offense. And you look at a team like New England, I hate to say it. Hey, I hate them. I'm a Bills fan. Got to respect the fact. One thing about that team, that offensive line is superior. Where you can, if you have a superior offensive line, you can make an average running back look great. And that's something to keep in mind, something that this team has sorely overlooked for decades.
Yeah, Tony, thanks for the call. No, you're right. Like, they've tried to fix their run game and make their run game great by investing big in running back. And that is kind of where the league's going. I mean, Kansas City's almost a trial at this. Hunt was great there. Yeah. But the moment they plugged in Damian Williams, who did almost nothing in Miami, he was great. So how much of that is system? How much of that is the offensive line? I agree with you there. I'd start with the offensive line, obviously, before running back. That's why if they drafted a running back ninth, I think we'd all be pretty mad about that. If they drafted an offensive line, we would be a little bit bored by it. But I think we'd all understand that they need that and that that is something that you invest in. Like, offensive tackle, like a great guard. Quentin Nelson last year for the Colts, he's running over people. Like, every week there's videos on him, how great he was. And look what happened to the Colts. The Colts rebuilt their offensive line last year. All of a sudden, hey, a run game. They didn't change the running backs. Marlon Mack was still there. He was still the starter. They added some rookies behind them in later rounds, like you should. They didn't go out and pay Le'Veon Bell or trade for him. They fixed the O-line, and boom, there was a run game. So I would like the Bills to follow that blueprint and do the same thing. Pair McCoy with like a mid-round guy, maybe a cheaper free agent, or even a Duke Johnson. But if you fix your offensive line, you should be okay. 803-0550 is the phone number. I'll get into some hockey when we come back if you want to get any last thoughts in on Kareem Hunt and the Bills at running back. Either one, we'll take your calls at 803-0550. I got a guy that I think the Sabres should be in on if he's available. He was part of some trade chatter today. We'll get into that a little bit later. Actually, we'll get into that next here on the Nightcap on WGR.
Yeah, we had some chances. I thought he was seeing the puck well, and it's a pretty big goalie. You know what I mean? I think you got to get to the net and get rebounds and other chances, and I thought he was really good first shot, and then it was just that secondary stuff he did a good job on and, you know, a couple timely saves. Just a good hockey game. It's obviously tough to be on the losing end of it.
Sabres goalie Carter Hutton after the Sabres lost last night 3-1, or last afternoon, I guess, to the Winnipeg Jets. We'll get into some hockey in a little bit. 803-0550 is the phone number. Talked a lot about Kareem Hunt and the Bills at running back in the first segment. I want to get into some of the draft actually here because Kyler Murray declared today, and I think that could affect them. It could affect how capable the Bills could be willing or be able to trade down. 803-0550 if you want to get on that, or Kareem Hunt, or what we were talking about at running back. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jonathan Nolden is on the Nightcap. What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, Joel, thanks for the show. I agree with what you said earlier. I'm glad the Bills didn't take the risk on Kareem Hunt, but it still is a very good running back. I guess my question to you is, if he avoids trouble, if he doesn't get suspended, do you think Cleveland would be a playoff playoff contender next year? Because I think Baker Mayfield's the best quarterback of the bunch, and I think Kareem Hunt's a very dangerous weapon, so Do you think this will pan out? Do you think Cleveland can make the playoffs this year, or what else do they need to prove out against the playoffs?
I think, Jonathan, thanks for the call. I think no matter what, they're a playoff contender. I picked them to make the playoffs right now. Cleveland, they should have made it last year.
A couple of kicks away.
Right. What was their final record? 8-7-1?
Yes, because Baltimore ended 9-7, and Pittsburgh was...
Maybe it was 7-8-1. 7-8-1. I got it right here. That was their final record. They lost three games that they shouldn't have lost. No, I'm sorry. They tied one game and lost two that they should have won. In particular, that Oakland game early in the season for the Browns, where the ref made a huge blunder in overtime that basically cost Cleveland the game. That would have been a win. That's eight. The game against the Saints, where Tyrod, on like fourth down and midfield, throws still. Like, he's not going to get a lot of credit for this because he got benched, like, the next week. It was maybe the best throw of the season in the NFL. Fourth down, game on the line at midfield, and he made an insane pass for a touchdown. Like, on the money. They lost that game because Greg Joseph, or Caleb Joseph, whatever the kicker's name was, he missed that extra point on that amazing touchdown. And then the Saints won it. That's another win. That's nine. Then there was the tie at the beginning of the year that Tyrod was also playing against the Steelers. And again, Tyrod in that, like, he actually played really well in those first two games. Terrible in that third. But anyways, he throws a touchdown to Josh Gordon late. They end up, yeah, that was the tie, I think. They go to overtime. They have, what did the kicker have? Two or three chances to win that game, one of which was for like 40 yards, and he didn't even come close. That's a 10th win. They should have made the playoffs last season. This year, they should definitely win it. They can't be worse than what they were at coach. That was the biggest reason I thought they might miss last year. Like, talent-wise, they were a playoff team. And for what Baker Mayfield showed up and was in his rookie season, he is, I agree with you, I think he's the best rookie quarterback. So here's my little spiel on the Browns. Like, I think they are going to make the playoffs this year. I think they're a good team. Really, regardless of whether Kareem Hunt plays or not. Because I think Nick Chubb might be as good, if not better. Like, we'll see what Hunt is outside of that Kansas City offense. I think he's good, but I think Chubb's good too. I don't know if you're going to see much of a difference. They're one of the teams picking behind the Bills. Now, they don't really, they're not really relevant to this conversation, but a couple of the teams in front of Cleveland at 17 are. So, Kyler Murray enters the draft, and we've already got some people like Eric Gelko, for instance, Optimum Scouting. He says from what he's heard slash knows, the way he would mock it right now would be Kyler Murray first overall to the Arizona Cardinals. Which is a little crazy. Like, they just drafted Josh Rosen, but he had a bad rookie year. So maybe, I don't know what he's getting at there. Maybe he thinks or knows or has heard that Arizona, with Kingsbury coming in there, who might want his own guy, maybe they'll go Kyler Murray first overall and trade Rosen. I guess that could happen. Let's say that doesn't happen, because that does seem a little far-fetched at this point, that Murray goes first. If he's really in this top 10 conversation, the Bills are sitting at 9. The Giants, already we've got reports that they think he's too small. Like, whatever. You're stuck in 1980 or the Giants. They're still going to go. They're going to go with Eli again, which is still hilarious. Okay, do whatever you want. Maybe they'll pick Haskins. Who knows? Then you've got Jacksonville at 7. That's really the only other team in front of the Bills. It's a serious threat to take a quarterback. Unless Oakland did it, but they've still got Carr, so they shouldn't. I don't think they will. You've got Jacksonville sitting there at 7. A little bit old school style. Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone. If you can get Jacksonville to not pick him, you need both the Giants and Jaguars. Or no, you need one of them to not take a quarterback for this to work. For the Bills to really have a serious and really good option at trading down. Because you're sitting at 9. Detroit's not picking a quarterback. Tampa's not picking a quarterback. The Jets aren't. The Niners aren't. And even though we got some Cardinals chatter, I still tend to think they won't. You just need one. Denver is sitting at 10. If you can find a team that's in love with Kyler Murray or Dwayne Haskins, this makes it a lot easier now that there's two guys that really could go top 10. And maybe these other guys could too. Daniel Jones, Drew Lock. Can you get a team on the phone and make them get ahead of Denver, who's right behind you at 10. That could be Miami, who is at 13. But wouldn't you love to make Miami trade down a few spots and snag another first-round pick from them, especially when they might be terrible this year, or a couple of second-round picks? Love it. Washington at 15. Alex Smith, probably not going to play this year. Even if he does, he's older. The perfect bridge quarterback. They could be looking at a quarterback. Can you call them and say, hey, Denver is going to pick your guy next? Here you go. Here's nine. Give me 3 second-round picks. Or give me your first next year. That's how you do it. This is all this is all much more possible now because Kyler Murray's decision today that he's going to play football. It makes it a lot more realistic. So I'm glad that he chose to come play football. I think he should have anyway. What do you think about that? You think he should have chose baseball or football, Kyle? I think he should. Football, there's more stardom.
Perfect, ideal world. It's like that girl in the taco commercial. Why not both? You know how dope that would have been? We haven't seen someone do that since...
Dion,
Bo Jackson in the 80s and 90s. I mean,
Wilson's come close, but... Has he come close? He's gone to spring training.
He's been invited by the Yankees and Rangers.
Right.
And maybe the Rockies, I believe, too. Okay. He's bounced around. He actually got traded last year.
Really?
Yes, he did.
Russell Wilson got traded?
Russell Wilson was part of a trade last year. But it's all dependent on what he wants his legacy to be. Jones, what was his name? We were just talking about
Daniel
him all
Jones.
Day. What's that?
Daniel Jones.
No.
Jonathan Jones.
Jonathan Jones. Thank you. The man who was on One Bills Live today. He put it perfectly. It's all about legacy. It's all about, you know, how much you're willing to want to play that sport. Because football, right off the bat, being a first-round pick, you're going to get a shot both financially with your rookie contract and potential bonuses and a chance on the field with a team that might have a spot open, that a vacancy that you need, like a quarterback. Huh. You get a chance right off the rip to impress people and make that money and be really valuable once your rookie contract expires. Baseball's totally different. Mm-hmm. Even the first-round picks, you have to be – Bryce Harper spent time in the minors. Steven Strasburg spent time in the minors. I remember Jones talking about that with –
Yeah, Strasburg played
Tasker.
Here.
Strasburg played here.
Or
even those top-tier prospects, number one overall picks, pay their dues in the minors, and it is not a glamorous road to the show.
Whereas NFL, you could just show up and...
Do you want to ride around in buses for 2 years before you get the call in September, or do you want to go
private
play
jets
in front of 70,000 people once every week?
There is the concussion thing, too, though.
That, too.
That's a strike against the NFL, but I guess it wasn't enough. I mean, he's a quarterback. Quarterbacks, you can't touch a quarterback anymore, so that probably swayed him. If this was 1990, maybe he doesn't choose to play football. Because you could get crushed.
Because that was his thing. That was a size. Being 5'9".
Did you hear the story about his dad, Kyler Murray?
I did actually hear that.
That's crazy. I just heard about
that. He was also in like the same situation.
Right. And he chose... I think he chose...
Football.
He got blackballed by both, maybe. Because he couldn't make up his mind.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that's how it went. He couldn't really make up his mind... And he wasn't quite, like, he's not Deion Sanders, so he kind
of
got...
He was one of Sal's guests that was talking about it last week. And Sal, that's what made me look it up, because then you were playing a cut from the Dan Patrick Show.
And
it was really awkward, looking at his dad.
Wouldn't say anything.
Super weird that history is repeating itself 20, 30 years later?
Yeah. I love that he's in the draft. It makes it so much more interesting. Ross Tucker pointed out on Twitter, and this is so right, the Combine... is more interesting now just because people are going to be like, oh, what is Kyler Murray's height? That'll be maybe the most interesting thing in the Combine. I think that should say a lot about how interesting the Combine is. Me personally, at least. All right, 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll roll through some of your calls when we come back. You can do anything you want here. Kareem Hunt, the Bills at running back, a little bit on the draft here. We'll get into some hockey in the second hour. Again, I got a guy I think the Sabres should absolutely be in on if he's available. Like 1,000%. He's my new Jeff Skinner. For a year, I was yelling, the Sabres need to trade for Jeff Skinner. They finally did it. They paid much less than I would have done. Good thing. I got a new guy for that, if he's available. It's the Nightcap on WGR.
Yeah, I don't know how many times you can take the moral victory anymore. I mean, we're 55 games in the year. How many times can we say, oh, we played well, but we didn't get any points? So teams are getting points, moving up the standings. We're not. So like, the moral victories are a thing of the past at this point. I mean, we don't get any points, and they win the game. So back at it Tuesday night.
Sabre center Jack Eichel. We'll talk some hockey in a few minutes here. You know how old Matt Ryan is?
I'd be cheating if I answered.
Because you saw my tweet.
I did.
How is Matt Ryan 34 years old?
Or
he'll be 34.
Well, you figured,
like,
didn't he set the NFL on fire in 2008?
It just seems like he's not that old. Like, Are they approaching the next chapter? Like, are they thinking about what are they talking about in Atlanta right now? Are they talking about how many years Matt Ryan has left?
I don't know, because I don't think his production slowed that much. He had an off year this year, not up to his expectations, sure. But they're 2 years removed from being in the Super Bowl. Like, well, that was an MVP candidate.
The Chargers, like Rivers, his production hasn't slipped, but they've been always linked to, like, hey, they're looking at these quarterbacks in the first round. The Saints, same thing.
Rivers just keeps defying odds. He's unorthodox as it is. I think a decade ago people were counting him out because of his throwing motion, and he wasn't up to a standard of an NFL quarterback, and he's still doing it.
I guess it makes sense that Matt Ryan's 34. It just doesn't feel like it at all. At all. I feel like he's 30.
Right. He looks young.
I think all quarterbacks are older than you think. Like, how old's Andy Dalton?
I'm going to give 30. 30 on the dot.
See, I think you're 31. And he'll be 32. Like, Andy Dalton's going to be 32.
They grow up so fast.
they literally do. Sal, last week, he was in for One Bills Live. He had me guess all the ages of all the head coaches, and I nailed it. I think I would fail epically at this with the quarterbacks. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. This might be a little old. It is 3 years old. But okay, so you got all the kids. No, this isn't even. This is up to date. Derek Carr, 26. Russell Wilson. No, this is a couple years old. Never mind. I was gonna say because Kirk Cousins isn't 27 years old, and it's got Dalton at 28. Okay, never mind. Anyways, I didn't have a very good grasp how old these quarterbacks were. We'll get into some hockey next when we come back. Like I said, stay tuned. It's a player the Sabres should be in on. And he was in some reports today. 803-0550 is the phone number. It's the Nightcap, Jody Biasi and Kyle Powell on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.